Hey everyone, thanks for being a part of 1 o'clock. I so appreciate that you're here. This is the best service of all. Way to go. Hey, as you see, we're starting a new series, but first, we had an awesome Easter Sunday last Sunday. That was great. 94 folks were baptized, decided to follow Jesus. Incredible. 94 folks went into the water to leave their past regrets in the past behind, and leaving things like their addictions and the selfishness that had messed up relationships or just things that they had done wrong, leaving it behind, coming out of the water for a new life, for a second chance, an opportunity to start over. Maybe that's where you're at today. Maybe you're at that place where you need to start over. You want to start over in some way. And that's what this series, Upcycle, is all about. That's what we're going to be focusing on the next few weeks. And so if you're ready for something better, better is possible. In fact, it's not only possible, it's a promise that God makes for us. And I want you to turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians, not 1st, 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, verse 17. It's page 790 and the Bibles that are in the seats in front of you. And if you need a Bible, we want you to take one of those with you. And those of you with us online, we're so glad you joined us. Your host will give you a link so that you can follow along as well. 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, verse 17. And this is what the Apostle Paul writes. He says, therefore, and here's the condition, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. Last service when I read that, I read, the old is gone, and someone said, thank you. You know, in Christ, we're a new creation. The old really has gone. The new has come. And that was a promise and a hope that the 94 people last week were clinging to and responding to. And it's not only just for those folks for the very first time, but for any of us in Christ at any time, God wants to be about the work of creating new in us and creating us to be those better people. And that's what Upcycle is all about. Upcycle happens when we look back and we see those regrets, the things that we've done wrong, the sins in our life, when we say, look, I'm not going to let those define who I am, but rather let those regrets move me to God. And then when I connect with God, it's God who does the work of changing me and transforming me and bringing me to a better place. And that new beginning is only possible because of what God does as he upcycles us, so to speak. And upcycle is only possible when we let the regret drive us to God. Not away from him, but we let regret drive us to God, not away. And that's what I want you to focus on, what I want us to focus on today. Now, upcycling is way better than recycling. Recycling, you know, you take an empty bottle, you know, you take it in to recycle, and then they make it into a bottle again, and you just, this recycling of bottle to bottle to bottle to bottle, nothing's new. We don't want our lives to be recycled. We want to be upcycled. Now, upcycle is a completely different thing, because when you upcycle, you take something that's old, used, worn out, and then you create it to be something better than it was before. Let me just show you what upcycle looks like. Upcycling is taking that and transforming that useless old stuff like tires. Okay, tires, I mean, just imagine the pile of old tires, right? What are they good for? Well, when you upcycle them, you may turn them into something that's a little more useful, a little more pleasant, a little bit better. And we're not really focused on tires. We're talking about our lives. We don't want to be just recycled. We don't want to recycle our regrets over and over. We want to take our regrets and allow God to upcycle us, that we become different people, better people, people that are useful for God and his purposes. And that's what we're going to focus on in this series. Now, what we're talking about is how we upcycle our regrets. We all have regrets. Every single one of us have regrets. I have regrets. I regret the ways I responded in anger to my kids when they were teenagers. I'm sure none of you have ever had that experience. Can't even imagine what that's like. I regret that I didn't take more opportunities to express my love and appreciation to my mom and dad while they were still alive. They've since passed, and I don't have that opportunity. I regret that seasons in our marriage when out of selfishness I wasn't attentive to and I didn't respond to my wife's needs and feelings. And in each of those, I can just regret what I did or how I failed or how I didn't respond well. Or I can let those regrets, let God take those regrets and upcycle them to grow me, to change me, to transform me. And that's an opportunity that each and every one of us have. I want you to think about some of the things that you regret. What do you wish that you could go back and undo or do over? What regret keeps playing in your mind? Keeps coming back up? What causes shame to show up? Now, we're going to look at these regrets, but here's what I want you to be aware of, is that there's actually two kinds of regrets. There actually is a good regret, a good kind of regret. And then there's a bad kind of regret, and I want us to look at both. When I talk about the good kind of regret, this is the kind of regret that God actually uses to move us to a better place. That's what upcycle means. In other words, it drives us back to God into a relationship with God where that relationship with God can actually change us for the better. And then there's the bad kind of regret where we linger in that regret and we focus on that regret. We recycle that regret over and over and it creates shame. And here's what happens. When shame starts to come in, then that puts a barrier between us and God. It hinders our relationship with God. And then we can get stuck in the shame where it just damages us. And what I want to do is in this series, I want to help us let regret drive us to God, not away. Because that's the critical piece in this. We're all going to experience regret, but will we let it drive us to God, not away from God? Because regret can do both. Regret can drive you from God when you just keep beating yourself up over something you did wrong. You know, you just keep, you know, just you don't give yourself any break over it. And here's what happens, and it's really a subtle thing that happens. We go from this place where we say to ourselves, I did bad, and legitimately, we did bad, but then we move to, I am bad. And that, while that doesn't sound like a big shift, it's a huge shift. There's a huge difference between I did something that was wrong, I did something that was bad, to now I am bad. And when we get to the place where we determine that we are bad, we are unworthy, we are unacceptable, that's a place of shame. And then there's a huge danger there because we can get stuck in the shame of our regret. That's what shame does, is it just keeps us recycling that, at least the thought of that regret over and over. And then in that place of shame, it's really hard to connect with God. It's really hard to reach out to God. And then that really hurts us because He's the only one that can do any upcycling. He's the only one that can bring about transformation in our life. But instead of just letting regret take us to a place of shame, we do have another choice. And the way the Bible describes that choice is it's called repentance. And I know sometimes we think, well, you only have to repent once in your life. No, we need to repent constantly throughout our life. And the word repent, the very meaning of the word repent means to change, to be transformed, to become something, to be someone who's better. And what we do is in repentance, we first admit that we did something wrong, but we also are saying, I don't want to stay where I was. I don't want to continue doing what I was doing. I want to be transformed. I want to be different. I want to be better. That's what we do when we repent. We're ready to move past our regret to something better. And so that good kind of regret drives us back to God. And then as we are reconnected and going deeper with God, then he's the one that brings about the change and the transformation. There's two guys in the Bible that had serious regret. And what's interesting is that their lives were in many ways very parallel. In fact, I call them twins. They weren't literally twins, but we're gonna refer to them this way, that they were twins of regret. They were very similar in their regret. Now, these two guys, they were so similar in so many ways. They both were followers of Jesus. They both had spent the same amount of time with Jesus. They both had seen the exact same miracles that Jesus performed. They heard the exact same teachings that Jesus gave. And then the irony is, with all that being the same, they both made their biggest mistake, their biggest sin, the very same night. It was the night that Jesus was arrested. I'm talking about Peter and Judas. You see, Judas sold Jesus out to the enemies of Jesus. He literally, for a price, he betrayed Jesus. He led the ones who would ultimately kill Jesus to Jesus. They arrested him, and on Friday they killed him. That was Judas. And on that same night, Peter, after they arrested Jesus, he denied that he knew Jesus three times and abandoned Jesus. Both Judas and Peter, they both did horrible things. They both betrayed Jesus the same night in different ways, but they both betrayed Jesus and they both regretted what they had done. But here's what's interesting about them. Everything up to now is essentially the same. That's why I called them twins. But what happens is after they sinned, after they did these terrible things, after they experienced regret, they actually took different paths, which ended up putting them in different places. Judas ends up taking his own life, while Peter is actually transformed. And we want to look at how that happened. And one of the really helpful, there's a really helpful passage that the Apostle Paul writes that describes the difference between what actually I'm describing as a good kind of regret and a bad kind of regret. When Paul writes this, we're going to look at it in just a second. When Paul writes this, I think he had in mind Peter and Judas as well as you and I. So take your Bibles again and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10, page 791. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10. Here's what Paul writes. He says this: godly sorrow, and he uses sorrow. Sorrow is a parallel term to regret. Godly sorrow, godly regret, brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret. But worldly sorrow brings death. Worldly sorrow brings death. There's a godly kind of sorrow. There's a godly kind of regret that moves us back to God. And that brings about repentance. Remember, repentance is a change. And with that change, as we've reconnected with God, then we leave the regret behind. There is no regret. That's incredible. That's what Peter ultimately chose. And then there's a worldly kind of sorrow. There's a worldly kind of regret that keeps us from God. That worldly regret creates this level of shame that kills hope and keeps us alienated, separated, distant from God. And that's ultimately going to be bad for us. It's ultimately going to result in death. And literally, in Judas's case, he chose that, and it resulted in his death. Let's look at those a little bit deeper. In Matthew chapter 27, verses 3 and 4, I'm just going to tell you where this is from. We're told that Judas deeply regretted his betrayal. In fact, he regretted it so much, he took the money they gave him. They gave him 30 pieces of silver. He takes it back to those who arrested and killed Jesus. He throws it at him. He gives it back to him. And then he says out loud to them, he says, I have sinned. I have betrayed an innocent man. He felt the immense weight of his wrongdoing. He felt the guilt of it. He felt he had regret. He was actually experiencing shame. And see, in that shame, and this is what shame does, is it kept him from even considering that he could reconnect with Jesus. It kept him from even realizing that even all that Judas had done, Jesus still loved him and could forgive him. I mean, everything I've ever read about Jesus was the one who said these profound words that we're to love our enemies. And Jesus wouldn't just say those words if he wasn't willing and able to do that himself. But in the worldly regret, the worldly shame that Judas was experiencing, he decided that he was just too bad. Remember, he went from I did bad to I am bad. I've gone too far. Jesus would not, Jesus could not, Jesus should not forgive me. That's what was going through Judas's mind. It was too bad. He'd gone too far. It was unforgivable, and he couldn't get past his regret. Dr. Brené Brown has done some famous research on shame. Can you imagine your life work being researching shame? Pretty depressing. But she's done incredible work. It's so helpful. And I love her definition of shame. She says, this is shame. Shame is a painful feeling or painful experience of believing that we are flawed and therefore unworthy of love and belonging. She goes on to say, shame comes from something experienced, something that we experienced, something that we've done, or something that we failed to do that makes us unworthy of relationship and of acceptance. And that's exactly what Judas experienced. He thought he was unworthy of Jesus. And that might be some of us here today. We might think that what we've done is so bad, that we are so unworthy of the love of Jesus and his forgiveness. We think that he can't, and maybe even shouldn't forgive us. And then there's Peter. Peter betrayed Jesus as well. It's a form of betrayal. But he fits this other kind of regret that Paul called this godly sorrow, this godly regret. And I want to read to you again 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10, because I think it describes Peter so well, the first part of it anyway. Godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret. So when you think about Peter, just like Judas, Peter felt horrible for what he'd done. He was deeply sorry, experienced incredible sorrow for his denial, his abandonment of Jesus. And so after the danger of the of that immediate time after Jesus was crucified had passed, Peter and John and a few of the other disciples decided to go back to their old ways. And by the way, that's what regret does. Regret often keeps us or sends us back to our old ways. And so they go back to fishing. That's what they knew. And they're out there on the lake and they're fishing. And frankly, they're doing a terrible job. They're not catching anything. And then Jesus shows up. And here's what I want you to catch in this. That if we're even open, that we want to get past our regret, Jesus will always come to us. He's always seeking us. He always wants to connect with us, and he's relentless in trying to recreate that connection with us. And so Jesus knows the regret that Peter's holding, and so he goes to the lake. He's standing on the seashore, And he sees that they're having a hard time catching anything, so he tells them to cast the net on the other side, and they catch all these fish. I think it was 156 to be exact. And at that, John recognizes that the guy on the shore that was telling him where to cast the net is Jesus. And with that, Peter jumps into the water and swims to the shore. He can't get there fast enough to be with Jesus. And the other disciples eventually get the boat and all the fish into shore. And Jesus has breakfast ready for them. And over breakfast, Jesus does this incredible thing. He wants Peter to know that he loves him and that he's forgiven him. So he says, "Peter, do you love me?" And Peter says, "Of course." And Jesus does that three times. And at the third time, Peter figures out what in the world Jesus is doing, that he's given Peter three chances to say, "I love you," for each of the times he denied Jesus. And in that moment, the relationship is restored. Peter knows that he's loved. Peter knows that he's forgiven. And it's then in that moment that Jesus is now going to begin the work of transformation, because he says, "We've got bigger things to do. We're going to move past the past. We're going to let your regret, that's behind us now. We're going forward together." And Peter was transformed. Two different guys, Judas and Peter, failed Jesus miserably, but they ended up on two different paths. By the way, you can read the whole story of Peter's restoration in John chapter 21. But just how was Peter and Judas different from each other? Well, Peter, he owned his regret. He wanted to leave it behind. He wanted to start over. He wasn't sure how to do that, but that's exactly what was in his heart. And so when he was given the opportunity, when Jesus comes to him, when Jesus reconnects with him, he repented. He wanted to live differently. He wanted to go forward. And so he accepted and embraced the forgiveness of Jesus. And that allowed Peter to get a do-over, so to speak. He got a second chance. But the difference is that Judas never gave Jesus that chance. Had Judas chosen to continue living, I believe that Jesus would have found a way. The resurrected Jesus, the same resurrected Jesus that stood on the shore to meet Peter, I believe that the resurrected Jesus would have found a way to reconnect with Judas. But Judas didn't give him that chance. Peter, on the other hand, went from that breakfast on the shore. He went back to Jerusalem, the very place where they crucified Jesus, the very place where he had earlier denied Jesus. And before thousands, he shared what we call the good news that Jesus came to show how much God loves them, that Jesus died for their sins, that God raised him from the dead, and that they had the chance at new life. And literally thousands of people responded. God used Peter to help get the church started, and the church now begins to go from Jerusalem all throughout the world and changes the world as we know it. Peter helped change the world. That's transformation. And this is what's interesting to me when you think of Peter. You know, when we think about him, it's not the regret that others will remember, not the regret of what Peter did, but it's what we do with it. Our legacy isn't based on the bad things we've done and the things that we regret. Our legacy is based on what we do with those things. And Peter will be forever known as the disciple who was upcycled, that he was transformed, that his regret drove him back to Jesus, and that Jesus then transformed his life. Where what we'll remember forever about Judas is his failure, his sin. So how do we get to this place where we move past our regret? Again, keep thinking, what have you done that you regret? Are you ready? Are you ready to move past the past and let the past stay in the past? Are you ready for something new? What keeps you from being driven, from going, from with all your effort and might to connect with God so that he can help you deal with your regret? What's holding you back? See, we have a choice. There's the path of Peter, there's the path of Judas. Let regret drive you to God, not away. How do we do that? How do we upcycle our regret? How do we move past the shame? We have to agree with God that whatever we did was wrong, or whatever we should have done that we didn't do was wrong. We own it. We honestly admit that sin to God. We ask for his forgiveness. And then we absolutely embrace that forgiveness. See, the goal here isn't just to recognize our regret and just to dwell on it, because that doesn't get us anywhere. But it's to be honest with that regret, whatever it is that we regret, so that it moves us to God, so that we can actually get in touch with how much he loves us and how much he wants to forgive us. Because here's the power of that. Once we connect with God at that level, then we're in relationship with God. And when we're in relationship with God, that's when he has the power to change us and transform us. Upscale, upcycle us to become something better, something far better. And that's our hope. Now, let's be honest. The reason why we have regret is because we were tempted and we sinned. And there will still be times in our lives when we are tempted. The evil one is relentless. He will constantly be tempting us. And this side of heaven, there will be times when we will choose to sin, when we will choose less than God's ideal. But when we face that, the regret, whether it was past, whether it's something that'll happen in the future, when we come across that regret and it'll be a constant part of our lives, we have two options of how we deal with that regret. There's a godly kind and there's a worldly kind. And if we choose not to go to God because of our regret, our only other option is what Paul describes as the worldly option. And the worldly option is this: if we're not moving towards God, then we're moving away from God. And if we're moving away from God, we have to. We're just by nature, the way we're designed, we've got to find a way to bring comfort, because we can't stay in the shame, we can't stay in the sorrow, we can't stay in the pain. And so we find God's substitutes. And by God's substitutes, I mean we're looking for something that'll bring a little bit of comfort, maybe a little bit of distraction, maybe some way we think that for a while we won't feel the regret. Things like pornography, or an affair, or alcohol, or drugs, or work, just pouring ourselves into work, or food, or shopping, or any kind of addiction. See, the reason that we engage in those things, and maybe they don't start out as an addiction, but all of a sudden they become one, because it's the only way we can continually for a while minimize the struggle of our regret. But the crazy thing about that is that the longer we rely on those things, actually the more regret that it creates, and the farther it pushes us away from God. And that's what we're tempted to do. Or we can face our regrets and say, God, use my failure, use my sin, use this mistake that I engaged in, and let it drive us back to God. He's the only one that can forgive us of our guilt. He's the only one that can really resolve the guilt and the regret and the shame. And he's the only one that can transform us into someone who's different and better. Maybe you're in a serious need of starting over. You're ready to be upcycled You're ready to move past the regret of your past experiences to experience something better that God has for you. And so here's what we're going to do in this series. We're going to focus on three basic steps that lead us to being upcycle. And we're talking about step one right now. You'll see them on the screen. Right now, the first step is that we just simply recognize our regret. But again, remember, this isn't just recognizing your regret and stopping there, but it's recognizing it with God. We're allowing that regret to push us back into an honesty, a depth of honesty, a depth of relationship with God in that. And then next week, we're going to focus on, once we've done that, how do we actually release the regret? How do we actually let go so that it truly is in the past and doesn't creep back into our present in any form? And then step three is we're going to redeem or upcycle our regret. We've used the word upcycle to describe a biblical word, redeem, and we're going to unpack that. And how does God actually transform us and redeem us and upcycle our whatever it is that we've done in the past? So here's what I want us to do right now. And maybe you've already done this as I've been talking, but if you haven't, I want you to at least identify one regret. Some of you are going, I got a whole pile already, and I get that. But at least identify one honest regret that you've been recycling over in your mind. What are you sorry about? What's the wrong that brings you sorrow and pain? What failures create shame? What did you do or what did you not do that you should have done that makes you feel unworthy? How have you fallen short of the ideals that you had for yourself and fallen short of God's ideals for you? And some of us have had no trouble identifying that regret, but if you're having trouble, let me give you a little formula that can help you figure out something that you're carrying a regret for. And it's a simple little formula. It's like, I wish I, and then blank, you fill in the blank. I wish I, for example, I wish I had really trusted God and did what I know He wanted me to do, but failed to do. That's a regret. Or I wish I had loved so-and-so better. That's a regret. You fill in the blank of that, whoever that person is. I wish I had taken better care of myself. Or I wish I'd been smarter about money and spent less and saved more and not gotten into debt. Or I wish I wouldn't have been so afraid to take that risk and for that opportunity that I missed. Those are all regrets. We all have regrets. We're all sorry about something. And so to get unstuck from the past, we've got to be intentional about moving out of the past and moving past the regrets and the shame to seek God for that better future that He desires for us. And what we do that by simply letting the regret drive us to God, not away. So, I have homework for you. Go, what? I didn't come to church for homework? I want you to be intentional about working those three steps that I talked about. So what we've done is that we've created a worksheet. It's called Upcycle, Living Beyond Regret. Upcycle, Living Beyond Regret. And it's, you can find it on mypantano.church. mypantano.church. We have a digital copy. You can fill in the blanks there on that line. Or if you like a printed copy, we have those at our guest services outside. And I want you to at least this week start with step one. Step one of the worksheet is recognizing your regret. So before we can get any farther, we've got to really identify a regret that we've got to move past and work through. And again, we're not going to get stuck there. We're not going to stay there, but that's got to be the first critical step of that. And if we really want to change, if we really want to experience what it means to be upcycled, then we've got to do the work. It's not good enough just to say, okay, I'll think about that. No, we've got to really put the effort into it if we want to experience the change. The honesty is that that Judas wasn't willing to do the work. He just was stuck in his deep sense of being unworthy and unacceptable. And he never moved past that. Or Peter, he faced his regret. He jumps in to go meet Jesus, and he faces Jesus, and Jesus transforms him. And so I want you to do the steps. I want you to start at least with step one today. But here's the deal. Don't do it alone. We rarely really move past our regrets just on our own. We have to have God in our life, absolutely. But it's also the people in our lives that also help us to do that well or do it better. And I think it's no mistake that when we look at those twins of regret, Judas and Peter, that not only did they end up in a different place, but there was one other significant piece that made them different in their regret. And one is that Judas was absolutely alone. You realize that? And when we're alone in our shame, the shame only grows. When we're alone in our shame, in our regret, and our guilt, it only grows. Peter chose a different path. He was with others. And don't minimize this. Granted, Peter wasn't quite sure how he was going to get past his regret, but he wasn't alone. He was with the other disciples. And granted, they went back to their old way of life, but they were at least together. And don't miss this. Even when Jesus shows up on the shore, Peter doesn't figure out it's Jesus. It's one of the other guys that helps point him to Jesus. But had he not been with those other guys, he might have missed it. And then, when they get on shore with Jesus, here it is. It's not just Peter and Jesus. Yes, that's the main, those are the two main characters. But the other disciples are there. They knew Peter had denied Jesus. And Peter knew they knew he denied him. And it's before them that all that is brought out in the open. Not only the past, Jesus is saying, hey, look, three times you denied me. But also that he was restored. That's critical in relationship. If we're going to do the work of identifying our regrets and releasing our regrets and experiencing redemption from our regrets, then we need to bring those regrets out into the open, into the light. And yes, we have to do that with God, but we also have to do it with others. Don't try to do it alone. And so if you're in a group, you've got some people that you meet with, a small group regularly, talk about those regrets with each other. Share those regrets. Share what you've learned and discovered in the little worksheet that we've got for you. If you're not in a group, I want to encourage you to become a part of a group. In fact, today in our courtyard, you'll see a tent out there and some tables. There's a number of groups that are doing our Discovering Faith Bible study, and they're open and they're willing to welcome you into their group, and you can go talk to them, find out, you know, when they meet, how that all works, and who's a part of that. You can discover all that. Right after our service, I want to encourage you, just take the time to connect there. Do the worksheet and just find somebody you trust. And do the worksheet together, or at least share what you've discovered as you're doing the worksheet. You just don't do it alone. My challenge to you is let the regret drive you to God, not away. You want to let the regret drive you to God. And he wants to help you start over. So I want us to just take some time to think about our regrets. And the reason why is because I've given you homework, and most of you, I think, sincerely go, yeah, I'm going to do that homework, and then you're going to leave here and you're going to think about whatever else you have to do the rest of the day and forget about it. So let's just take some time right now and to reflect on what are you sorry about? What's causing you shame? What regret are you holding on to? And I think this is maybe the most important of those questions. What regret are you still holding on to? And so really what we're doing is we're beginning step one right now, right here. I want you to just take this time to identify a regret, bring it before God, make the commitment to do the work going forward so that you can get to that place where God can take you and take your regret and move it to you and to a whole different and better place. So I'm going to give you some time quietly, and then I'll finish our time in prayer. Don't do the work alone. In our courtyard, there are some groups that you can connect with. If you're fairly new here, go on over to Starting Point, room number one. We can help you get connected. And maybe you just need to pray with someone. Our prayer partners are going to be here up front after the service is over. They'd love to pray with you. Let's pray together. Father God, we're coming to you with our regrets. Some of us are still in shame over what we did or what we should have done. God, I'm just asking you to not let us be stuck in our shame and our regret. God, help us. Help us allow this regret to move us closer to you in a deeper way than ever has been before. And help us to truly embrace your forgiveness and allow you to take us through our regret to be a different, a better person, the kind of person you want us to be, doing the kinds of things you want us to do, making a difference. God, protect us from the evil one who wants to keep us trapped in the shame and the guilt and the sorrow. Free us. And God, help us to be honest with you and before you. And give us the courage to be honest before others. And God, take us on this journey. We want to be upcycled. We want to be transformed in a way that honors you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You're dismissed. Thank you.